Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. With less than 30 days before the election, that damning video surfaced before the weekend, of course, that shook the Trump campaign. It reveals a 59-year-old Donald Trump, 11 years ago, bragging about forcing himself on women and grabbing their genitals in what amounted to a thinly veiled description of sexual assault, more or less. In a video apology and in last night's debate, Donald Trump chalked it up to locker room banter. But the political fallout that ensued was quick and harsh. Top Republican leaders, including John McCain, Condoleezza Rice, and others, withdrew their support for Donald Trump. Even Donald Trump's own running mate, Mike Pence, condemned his remarks. And now a series of Republican senators and representatives, governors, have stepped forward, calling for Donald Trump to step down from the Republican ticket. Donald Trump said over the weekend and implied strongly in the debate last night that he's never withdrawn in his entire life and that he's not stepping aside now. So with me to discuss the state of the GOP ticket from the race for the White House on down to Republicans' bid to hold on to control in the Senate is Caitlin Huey Byrne. She's national political reporter for Real Clear Politics. Caitlin, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
It's great to have you. You know, for so many Republicans over the weekend who bolted the Trump train unendorsed or said they're not going to vote for him, it was sort of the final straw. And why now? Why is now the final straw when there's been so much over the campaign that could have been a lot of straws?
I think that was the question of the weekend. Republicans have had really over a year full of off-ramps, so to speak, to bolt from this Republican nominee, now Republican nominee. There was, remember, discussion before the convention about whether there would be a revolt against him, and establishment figures in the RNC really tried to tamp that down. There were plenty of opportunities, but I think the reasons why this was really the straw that broke the camel's back was it was because it was on tape, because of the vulgarity of the comments, and also because voters are already weighing in at this point. Remember, early voting already started. There was this sense of urgency in some ways among Republicans to get out in front of this. And it was just in my conversations with strategists and such, it just seemed like this was an issue that they could not defend.
But then you look back to you know, five different times on Capitol Hill where Paul Ryan has had to come to the microphone to rebuke the nominee, to call He's had to call him racist. Mm-hmm. He's had to call him xenophobic in a way. So none of this was new. And to me, you know, Caitlin, it seems like this was bad and on tape, but it was also a month before the election. And these politicians now know that he can't win. And that's the real off-ramp. He can't win. And so now I'm going to back away and try to salvage something for myself.
Exactly. That's such an important point, because when you looked at the polling heading into this weekend before this tape was released, Donald Trump was behind nationally and in key battleground states like New Hampshire, for example, Colorado, Pennsylvania, you name it. And these are all states, of course, North Carolina as well. These are all states, of course, where Republican incumbents are trying to hold their seats. And so this was, I think you're exactly right, a moment in which they realized that Trump was behind anyway, and that, remember, heading into this, Republican incumbents were kind of walking this fine line of not completely distancing themselves from Trump because they wanted to appeal to his voters in some way. They didn't want to lose that support. Now the calculation, of course, that Trump is so poisonous to them that any benefit they would get from those voters, they kind of don't even want to go there.
The other side of this that everyone's forgetting to talk about, because this is so white hot, is that this could have been a weekend that was very difficult for Hillary Clinton. Another round of emails hacked from her campaign showing ostensibly that she does one thing in public and another thing in private. Maybe a lot of politicians do that, but this would have been a very tough week for her, but for Donald Trump.
Exactly. And why that could have been so damaging for her is because look at what her biggest vulnerability was and has been throughout this entire cycle: trustworthiness and honesty. Trump has been running as kind of the change agent against someone who he has framed as a creature of Washington who won't do anything differently. And those comments released by WikiLeaks go to exactly to that point. But Donald Trump couldn't even address that over the weekend. He did in the debate when prompted, because he was battling these issues of his own. this is an example of time and time again, Donald Trump cannot get out from under himself, right? Last week, the issue of Obamacare could have been front and center, especially given Bill Clinton's comments about it. Donald Trump was instead trying to clean up messes that he created regarding things that were brought up in the first debate.
Let's talk about the Senate, because some senators, Republican senators, who were trying to keep their grip on the Senate, it's tenuous, have managed to run well in front of Donald Trump. Rob Portman is the Republican incumbent from Ohio, running way in front of Donald Trump there. Portman's probably going to hang on to his seat even if Trump loses in Ohio. But what about these other critical Senate states like New Hampshire, like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin? Do we have a sense now of the weight of the drag, if any, on these Republicans who are trying to hang on?
Well, I think we had a sense of Donald Trump's drag before all of this. He is behind in New Hampshire. He's behind in Pennsylvania, where Pat Toomey is running for reelection. These candidates have tried to distance themselves in ways and have tried to run ahead of Donald Trump in ways. And in many ways, they have actually been successful in doing that. When you look at the polling, these Republican incumbents are typically running ahead of Donald Trump, but not always enough to beat their Democratic challenger. I think that Donald Trump already had a weight on these particular states already heading into this past weekend. And I think, you know, he figures to do further damage. Donald Trump has made it very difficult for some of these Republican incumbents to reach out in ways that they need to among independent voters, among suburban women, for example. Rob Portman is a really good example of someone who's been able to run really his own campaign. But he also benefits in some ways from favorable demographics to Donald Trump in a state like Ohio, where it's predominantly white, where Donald Trump's trade message really plays in. And so there are some kind of built-in advantages. In a place like New Hampshire or Pennsylvania, even North Carolina now is a really key battleground. It's a harder line for these Republicans to toe. So they have tried to distance themselves from Trump now, saying he should get off the ticket. Although in North Carolina, Senator Burr has not done so yet. He was waiting to see what the debate brought. But I don't think that Donald Trump gave them any more reason in this past debate that he would be any different.
Caitlin Huey-Burns is national political reporter for Real Clear Politics. Thanks for coming in and talking to us.
Thank you.